It's the oldest fixture in international football. England against Scotland, the Chuckle Brothers against the Crankies, Fergie versus Fergie. That old British rivalry comes to Euro 2020 and Wembley on Friday night. I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is Football Only Better. Stuart, my Elton John, is Mark O'Hare. He's been working hard in the Bet Cave to bring us the best tips and insight. Mark, England the clear favourites for Friday night's game at 1.35 on the exchange, with Scotland 11.5. Given the relative strength and technical quality of the sides, that's probably fair, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It still feels short. Clearly, home advantage has been built in significantly. We've talked about it on numerous shows now, how there almost seems to be an overreaction to the home field advantage. I know post-pandemic, we were sort of struggling to work out how much home advantage counts without supporters, but now we haven't got full stadiums. We're still trying to sort of calculate how much home advantage does count now. I think it has been overplayed slightly, but yes, this is an England team with aspirations of winning the competition against the Scottish side, who are now reeling after what happened in the opening game. So, I think England, yeah, obviously deserved hot favourites, should be winning this match. Southgate came in for criticism on social media before the game against Croatia when the team news apparently dropped, but people were saying he was justified and vindicated with the win. I'm not so sure myself. I think he could have made improvements to that 11. I don't think there was a necessity to play a right-footed player at left-back, for example.
That's really interesting, Mark. So where would you... What decisions would you have made? Would you have played a more natural left-footed left-back then, rather than put Trippier there? Because I thought Trippier defensively did superbly.
Yeah, he did fine. He did fine, but it's not his position, is it? So you've got two quality left-back options. If you want to go a little bit slightly more defensive, then you just pick Luke Shaw there rather than Chilwell. The team's not going to be worse. And just because England won the game doesn't necessarily mean his selection was spot on. Clearly, Calvin Phillips, who had an outstanding game, used in a role which was probably not expected by many of us. But it's not to say there was other players in the squad who could have done something similar either. So I wasn't bowled over by England at all. I thought clearly difficult conditions in the heat. But at the end of the day, they got a win in the opening game against their main rivals in the pool, which is all that matters. So you kind of move on to the next game, and this is the big one. But I think you switch it to Scotland, really, who I thought the quality of the game against the Czech Republic was quite low, apart from two incredible finishes from Patrick Schick. Scotland will feel obviously disappointed with the final result because they had opportunities. Lyndon Dykes, Robertson as well, I think just lack conviction and quality when they're in decent areas. I just think a ruthless edge and they get something out of that game. And I didn't think they did an enormous amount wrong defensively. So, but that's football. Steve Clarke as well was criticised for his selection, keeping Shea Adams on the bench. I think he might come into the team now. Tierney should be back as well, which makes Scotland a bit better, a bit more secure defensively too. But for me, Scotland, it's all about the emotional baggage and the pressure that comes with this fixture. Can they keep themselves grounded, keep themselves focused? I do rate Steve Clarke highly, and I think he will be able to get the best out of them. And I think this is most likely to be a containment exercise. They don't have the defensive pace to play up the field against an England team which does have pace in behind. So I expect them to sit back, see what can happen, try and be stubborn, difficult to break down, and do their best when the possession is turned over. I don't think it's going to be too different to what we saw with England-Croatia, who will monopolise possession and you know, fashion the better chances. So I'm not expecting this to be high scoring. It should hopefully be quite feisty with the two old rivals' feet meeting, but it's just going back to our favourite major tournament play at the moment, which is England to win and under 3.5 goals, which covers the top four in the correct score market. So I'm not expecting a rout, but I'm not expecting Scotland to get anything out of the game either.
Infogoals chief scientist, the footballing Chris Whitty, Jake Oscarthorpe is with us. Jake, how do you see this international derby?
Very, very similar to everything that Mark said, really. And I think the staple podcast bet is a very, very safe way in. I think England, I was impressed with the way in which they controlled the game against Croatia. More than anything, they obviously didn't create bundles of chances, but they did enough to deserve to win the game, and they kept Croatia at arm's length really impressively. Which, you know, to say that we came into the tournament with doubts around England defensively, especially if Maguire was to be injured and he's proven that he's not fit enough just yet to start. They actually dealt with Croatia really, really well, limited them to very, very little. And I know it's a Croatia team that isn't the same team that that got to the 2018 World Cup final, but they still got some good players in there that can beat a man and create chances. And we limited them to just 0.5 expected goals, which is a really, really solid display. And it doesn't really bode well for Scotland, who, you know, against Czech Republic, who are obviously the third ranked team in this group. They did create the chances, but the lack of clinical finishing was there for all to see. I mean, Mark listed a couple of the chances there that were missed, and you just need that extra little bit of composure in those moments. And I know that he likes Lyndon Dykes, but he definitely doesn't have that sort of composure at this level, I don't think. And it was a surprise to see Chad Adams starting on the bench, and his instant impact in that game was definitely something that caught my eye. And if he does start against England, he's definitely a player to keep an eye on, because if they do sit back, as we expect them to do, and play on the counter-attack, he'll offer quite a big threat in that regard. But it's difficult to see anything other than an England win, really. There's been a lot of talk that Southgate might ring the changes, rest a few players after what was an exhausting afternoon in the prime heat in London, which is unusual. But if he does rotate, England will be way too strong. And you know, the criticism he came in for with his team selection, especially in midfield pre-game with Phillips and Rice playing, people were expecting him to play as a double pivot, but Phillips obviously played a bit higher. And what that does leave Southgate with is, in these matches in particular where you're playing against a deep line block, is options on the bench that can come on and make a real impact. You think Grealish can come on, and just his ability to beat a man is so crucial when you're trying to break down a deep line block, because it's all right passing it side to side, but you need someone to break the lines when you're running the ball. So you've got him, you've got the likes of Rashford who can come in as well and do that kind of thing. So shouldn't really be an issue for England this game. I'm very much in the same boat as Mark. I looked at England win to nil, which is around 1.9 on the exchange. But England to win, under 3.5 goals. And I've also thrown in under 1.5 first half goals, which is 23-20 shot on the Betfair Sports with the Bet Builder. We've seen this tournament so far, the amount of games that have been 0-0 at halftime has been through the roof. So throwing that in just boosts that England to win under 3.5 goal price above even money and gives us a nice runner. And it's going to be a back against the wall job for Scotland, and just a case of can England break them down, which I think they will.
So Bet Builders from both the guys, and worth remembering, our fantastic multiples offer will be running every day throughout the Euros. Bet £20 on multiples or Bet Builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or Bet Builders. T's and C's apply. Thought it was interesting the way that the Czechs managed to neutralise the threat of John McGinn against Scotland in that first game by just putting Thomas Socek on him. And I wonder if England might do something similar with Declan Rice, just to try and negate McGinn's influence. It's going to be a fascinating game with a great atmosphere at Wembley. But Friday's action actually starts at 2 as Sweden face Slovakia. Sweden drew 0-0 with Spain first up. Slovakia picked up a shock 2-1 win over Poland. Mark, this feels like a game without many goals, really, because Sweden, they always set up in a fairly defensive mindset because they know they've got the pace and skill of Isak in attack. So they know as long as they've got that solid base, they've got something to work from.
Yeah, I'm not anticipating a pretty game here, because you've basically got two teams who are quite happy to play without the ball. Slovakia upset the odds against Poland. You could say it was a deserved win, cracking opening goal with a slice of luck. Skriniar sort of capping off a really excellent defensive performance with the winning goal. But we saw again how stubborn Slovakia can be and how difficult they can be to open up. And we said, you know, Poland were desperately poor. But Slovakia, you know, despite winning the match, only actually created 0.45 XG against Poland. So they're not a team that carves out golden opportunities regularly. This is a team that's aware of its limitations, which is quite happy to cede the initiative to opponent teams. I think they'll come here looking for a point. I'm expecting a defensive performance. It's where their strengths are at. They're quite comfortable sitting in that low block and inviting pressure and trying to counter-attack. And, you know, they did play basically without a regular striker against Poland as well, Duda leading the line in the false nine, really. So I really wouldn't be surprised to see something very similar, because a point will pretty much put them through to the last 16. And I don't think that's going to particularly suit Sweden, in all honesty, who aren't really accustomed to dominating the ball, dominating territory, They showed that they can open teams up, you know, with their 15% of the ball against Spain. They arguably had the two best opportunities of the match.
Yeah. Which talk is about living off scraps.
But, exactly. Yeah. But they will be boasted because Dejan Kulusevski's back in the squad. Yeah. He just adds a different dimension, a bit of threat from the flanks, pace, energy. Isak was outstanding as well. So they might well be a little bit jaded, though. That's my only concern with Sweden. Had to play in the heat of Seville, now have to journey to St. Petersburg as well. So there is a very slight edge, a very slight advantage there to Slovakia coming into this match. So I am being overly cautious, just like these two teams are, naturally, and backing Sweden double chance and under 2.5 goals, 3-4 on the bet builder. I don't see Sweden losing the game, but if they do win, it's not going to be by a wide margin. I think the draw is a big runner as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You're absolutely right that Sweden don't usually go into tournament games as favourites, and they're not used to having to make the running, are they, in terms of the attacking play? But I wonder if this is when Emil Forsberg comes into play, Dejan Kulusevski, who quite rightly pointed out, comes into play, and whether Isak is worth a look as well. Jake, how do you see this one?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more bullish on Sweden to just get the win, to be honest. I really wasn't impressed with Slovakia. I know that they did what they wanted to do in terms of the setup, sit back and counterattack, but they played against 10 men for the majority of that second half. And really,
but they played quite well in midfield before then, didn't they, Jake? Didn't they win that midfield battle before then, even before Krychowiak went off?
You could argue that they did, but again, like we're judging Poland's midfield as being arguably better than Sweden's, and I don't think it is really. I think that the whole, I know Mark's got some choice words about Poland's performance in that game, but in general, I just think the Poland team isn't as good as what this Sweden team is. I think the Sweden team are much better organised. They've got a little bit more creative quality, and they feed their strikers better than the Poland team do. You know, like you've said, you've got Forsberg, you've got Kulusevski, you've got Seb Larsson, who can put in a mean cross from the right-hand side. You've got, you know, Larsson as well from a dead ball situations is very dangerous, and that might be what wins this game. But yeah, I thought Sweden rode their luck undoubtedly against Spain. They conceded a load of good chances, but you know, they offered quite a big threat on the counter attack. As Mark said, they had the two best chances of the game really from limited possession. If they have more of that possession, I know it'll be against a deep line block, and it'll be a little bit of a different game. I do think that they'll have enough to carve open Slovakia. I think that Sweden will change their approach slightly, play more on the front foot, maybe throw a few extra forwards on the pitch from the start. And as I said, I wasn't really all that impressed with Slovakia. I know, as I said, they did what they went to do, which was defend deep and counter-attack. And, you know, as I said, they were fortunate to get the 3 points, really. I mean, it's a snapshot volley from a centre-half at the edge of the box, which has won them the game, really. Whereas Poland, with 10 men, dominated the football match and created not enough chances to win the game. But I think a draw would have been a fairer result in that one. And Sweden, I just think, have got more quality in every area of the pitch. Effectively, these two teams are very similar, but Sweden are probably three times as good in terms of the quality on the pitch. So I'm happy to take a bet on Sweden to win at 1.89. Sweden to win in under 3.5 goals is at 23-20 with the bet builder, which is another one that I really like, and it's a staple. People are probably listening and thinking, oh, another team to win in under 3.5 goals, and that's just because it is.
But that's because it's a good bet, though, isn't it?
Exactly. I
mean, yeah, that's absolutely it. The reason we keep mentioning that bet is because a lot of games end under 3.5 goals, and if you fancy a favourite and you want to boost their price, it's the perfect way in, isn't it?
Exactly. And as Mark says every time he mentions it, is literally you're getting so many of the favourite correct scores on side by taking that bet. It is ultimately value. And the final bet, I thought everything that Sweden did really well against Spain went through Alexander Isak, and his price to score any time is at 9-5 in this one, which just jumped out to me as being too big.
Yeah.
You've got Marcus Berg, who's 7-5, who, you know, can't finish his dinner, let's be honest. Whereas Isak is a much more clinical finisher. He had a much better season domestically, and he just looks much more of a threat. And the other thing with Isak, as we saw, his dribbling ability is really, really good, which means that against a deep line block, he might be able to create chances for himself rather than having to rely on service. So the 9-5, I just thought, it just jumped out to me as a value price. I think he was a third favourite in the market, which was a surprise.
And Marcus Berg fans, you can contact Jake on Twitter at Jake Oz. Croatia is suddenly behind the eight. Yeah, yeah. He wants your views. Croatia suddenly behind the eight ball. They take on the Czech Republic. Croatia, the 6-5 or 2.2 favourites, with the invigorated Czechs 3.65. Mark, I must admit, the Czechs were a lot better than I thought they would be against Scotland. I know Scotland had more possession and made some good opportunities, but the Czechs were very solid. And as we said before this tournament started, a lot of what the Czechs were going to be able to do in this tournament was going to be down to whether Patrick Schick showed up. Boy, did he show up in that first game.
Yeah, he did. Man, that goal was outrageous. It's been a while since I've kind of made a noise which I don't normally make when a goal goes in, but it was genuinely quite...
Do we get a replay, Mark?
I couldn't even tell you what I did, to be honest. It really got me out of the seat, which doesn't happen often these days, but it was sensational. But yeah, they were strong, they were solid, but and game state is an obviously something to consider here, but Scotland had 19 shots, 14 efforts from inside the penalty area. They hit the woodwork, they generated almost 2 expected goals. So, you know, I don't want to read too much into that game against Scotland. At the same point, I don't want to get too blinkered by Croatia's performance or non-performance against England, because they were quite disappointing, particularly in the final third. I didn't think the Czechs were quite as good as that scoreline suggested against Scotland. I don't think Croatia are quite as bad as what we saw at Wembley. So before this tournament, you'd say Croatia were probably clear and deserving favourites to win this match. The market has kind of settled towards being with Croatia, but at odds against. I think that's quite interesting. They obviously need the result. And if you look at the team sheet against England, there's still undoubted quality there. And I know Zlatko Dajic is being urged to make a few changes, one of which apparently is Kramaric losing his place in the team, which is a shame because he's a player who can really make things happen and make a difference to that team. The issue really for me with Croatia is defensively and also that lead striker role. Who's going to be ruthless enough to finish the opportunities which they should create, considering that midfield. It's going to be interesting. Clearly, Croatia will take the initiative. They've got the midfield dominance in terms of ability. They should be able to create the tempo or set the tempo and have the territory. And they really should have the craft and guile to open this Czech team up. So, but there is a few lingering doubts, clearly, after what we've seen, and not just in that game against England, but over the past 3 years, but Croatia's performances have been so erratic and so inconsistent, it's hard to really know where they're actually at. So, again, the dynamics of the group are going to come into play here. I think Croatia will be pressing, the Czechs will be containing, so it's delicately poised, and I think the goal line is quite low, considering basically whenever the first goal goes in, whoever scores it, you know, could really open things up, which is quite exciting from a neutral's perspective. But I think from a betting proposition, I do want Croatia on side, and I thought the Asian handicap on the Betfair exchange was possibly the way to take it, because you can back Croatia minus a quarter at 1.85, which appeals. We'd only lose half of our stake if the game ends in the draw and paid out as a win. Actually, that's just increased to 1.9. So, yeah, Croatia minus a quarter at 1.9 does appeal to me. We get paid out at 1.9 if they win the match and only lose half your stake if the game ends in draw, but it's going to be difficult. I did find this game really tricky to call, so I'd be interested to hear what Jake says.
Yeah, Jake, just quickly, if you had a bet on this one, which was the one you would absolutely go for? What's your nap from this one?
Yeah, like Mark said, I found this one the trickiest of the three games to sort of decipher. And I think the fact that the Czech Republic won that first game against Scotland means that the dynamic of this is going to be completely different. It is going to be the Czech Republic sitting deep, trying to counterattack, probably for the whole game, because they know a point will almost guarantee them, will all but guarantee them passage to the next round. So I can't see the Czech Republic doing enough to win the game. They were fortunate to beat Scotland. Let's not beat you around the bush. Scotland racked up nearly 2 expected goals, as Mark said, created loads of chances. The Czech Republic looked very vulnerable from various different situations, and they won the game thanks to 2 moments of brilliance from Patrick Schick. The first being a worldy header, the second being, you know, a long range strike from distance that had less than a 1% chance of being scored based on XG. So it was moments that won them that game, and I don't think they'll get those moments in this one, but I do think that they'll make life difficult for Croatia. And I'm not as confident in Croatia as what Mark is. I don't think they'll lose the game, but I didn't see enough, and I haven't seen enough over the last well, ever since the 2018 World Cup for me to believe that they've got enough to break down this a deep line block. They've lost the likes of Mandzukic, Rakitic. They're reliant heavily on Modric, Perisic, and if Mark's correct and Kramaric isn't playing, then that's another key creative cog that would be sat on the bench. So I'm not too confident in Croatia actually winning the game, but I don't think they'll lose it. I think that this is a must-not-lose game for Croatia. They'll know that. So I'm going to try and get them onside in some way, because, as I said, I don't think they'll lose. Croatia or the draw. I see this being quite low scoring again, under 3.5 goals and under 1.5 first-half goals, which comes out at 20 to 23, so around 1.85 on the sportsbook. That, to me, that's my way in. I just think that it's going to be tight. Czech Republic aren't going to give try, or they're going to be sat very deep, a lot deeper than they were against Scotland in that first half, and try and frustrate Croatia, knowing that a point will see them progress. And Croatia, obviously, it is down to them. Have they got the creative quality to open them up? You know, they've got playmakers in there, but it is just a matter of if, as opposed to when. So, yeah, that'd be my bet for this one, but it's probably my least favourite fantasy of the three games.
Well, now it's time for the podcast treble, where we each make a selection and our traders wrap them up in a boosted treble for us. I'm going to be sneaky and I'm going to nip in there and take England to win. So that one is off the table. Jake, what have you got?
I'm going to go Sweden to win, to beat Slovakia. I just think they'll prove too strong. And leave Mark with the game that we both struggled with.
What a stitch up that is. Mark O'Hare, Croatia, Czech Republic. You fancy the Croatians? Back the Croatians to win. That'd be fine.
Yeah, we'll put Croatia in there.
He sounds quite so enthusiastic about that.
Quite right, too. That'll be the one that comes off. Croatia will win 3-0 and England will lose 1-0 now. You watch. Don't forget to check out the Daily Boosted Treble on the Sportsbook, where you can boost the odds even further with your odds boost token. T's and C's apply. That's sadly all we have time for on Football Only Better. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a nice review with your usual podcast provider. From Mark, from Jake, and from me, it's goodbye for now.